DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, WWL listeners? It is Tuesday, September 9th, and I'm still riding high off of week one of NFL action in the books. Unfortunately, the Saints didn't win, and actually my fantasy football team for the our work league here did not win because Charlie and Derrick Henry ran all over my squad.
And it was tight, and then Derrick Henry decided to look like he's an alien. He's unbelievable what he can do. And
just
I saw
torched me.
Steve, did you see that stat that Derrick Henry has less rushing yards at the NFL level than he did in his high school career?
I saw that one, yeah.
That's a crazy number because he's been so good for so long at the NFL. And then you look back, like that high school coach, I don't know, man. He gave him like 300-something carries per season in like 13, 14-game seasons. That's really dangerous for a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid.
He's just built different.
Derrick Henry is quite literally built different.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is still this productive entering his early 30s, he's incredible. And so that game, man, Sunday Night Football, people will say that might be the best game we'll see all season long.
That was unbelievable, right?
Because just as much of an alien that Derrick Henry is, the two alien quarterbacks with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson going back and forth, and then Josh really pulling it out late and putting on the Superman cape, as Mike D said.
Yeah, and then my tears started to form going, oh no, we have to see him in week four.
Yeah, we'll be previewing that in a couple weeks here, Steve. But Josh Allen, there's a reason that dude won MVP last year. He's a special, special player. And then we went from that quarterback battle to Caleb versus JJ, which, I mean, like JJ got it going in the fourth quarter.
I was going to say, things didn't start out great for him, but he closed.
I've never seen it. I was joking with Mike off air. The Bears looked like the Monsters in the Midway 2.0 for three quarters with DA. And then they just got killed in the fourth quarter. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. So shout out to JJ McCarthy for sticking with it because he looked terrible for three quarters of that game.
Finally and realized, then, oh, I've got that guy Jets Jefferson on my squad.
Yeah, and then the run game was getting going. Right. And then DA just got torched defensively with the Bears in that fourth quarter. If you look at the line score, it's really funny because, I mean, it's really tight. The Bears win 7-0 in the first quarter. I think the Vikings put up 6 in the second. They beat them 6-3. And then the Bears beat them in the third quarter, 7-0. And then the fourth quarter happens. And at a point, it was 21-0 in the fourth quarter. It's a complete role reversal. Caleb Williams doesn't look improved under Ben Johnson, which a lot of folks were expecting this year. He's still making a ton of the same mistakes that he did in his rookie campaign.
Still painting his fingernails.
I was not impressed at all by Caleb. JJ I wasn't impressed with until he went off in the fourth quarter. You're like, oh, maybe Kevin O'Connell's got something here with the Vikings. And but going back, Steve, that Sunday Night Football game was a classic as far as regular season games go. So to go from that high to kind of low with the Bears-Vikings was a little bit sad.
I don't know if you got to sound off with the guys on Second Guess yesterday about the Saints game or today with Mike D, but what were just your overall thoughts of seeing, you know, what the Saints were able to do in week one against Arizona? For me, it was a lot of it was what I expected to see. Sure. From this squad struggling offensively. That's the problem. Hopefully we see get a little bit better going forward. I wish that they got to, you know, get more in tune with the run game. It was nice to see that all the backs be productive. I wanted to see more of Alvin, maybe even in the receiving game a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll go pull up the numbers, but the Saints rushing attack was effective when it was on.
Absolutely.
When they were using it. It's just the fact that they fell behind 10 in the second half, and then they had to throw Spencer Rattler 50 different passing attempts. So,
get it to Alvin.
I know. And I think that's going to be a game plan moving forward is, hey, you might have something with this rushing attack. Let's actually kind of lean on that moving forward. Steve, it's two sides of the coin where you were impressed with what you saw from the Saints, and I also really wasn't impressed with the Cardinals.
Right.
Specifically their defensive line. You know, I know that they didn't have Walter Nolan in that game, but it really felt like when the Saints wanted to run the ball, they were able to run the ball on the Cardinals. And I think I maybe had higher expectations for Arizona entering that matchup. There was a reason they were 6.5-point favorites. Some people were talking about them as a potential dark horse in the NFC West. And I just go back to what Mark Schlereth, our friend from Odyssey, had said last week when kind of previewing the game. He's just like, there's still Arizona. I mean, they're still the Cardinals, right? Like, are they really going to be that surprise team out of the NFC West, which does feel really wide open with the 49ers injury issues, with, you know, the uncertainty that the Rams may have for the future with Stafford? I still think the Rams are my pick in the NFC West. You know, we'll see the Seahawks in a couple weeks here, Steve, on the road when the Saints go to Seattle. But I would still say the certainty that you have with Los Angeles would make them my selection. I left that game feeling pretty down about Arizona, in all honesty.
Yeah, considering that you thought they had those weapons at all the levels, I felt like, with running backs, a top-tier wide receiver, and also a tight end that scares you.
And Trey McBride is a stud, and he was utilized well in the passing attack for Arizona. But, you know, kind of like what Deuce had said in the postgame, that Marvin Harrison really had a nice breakout game there. And there are high expectations for him this year. So the fact that he got off to a good start, that's probably the brightest positive that Cardinals fans can take from that week one game. Otherwise, I mean, their defense wasn't that impressive, especially up front on the defensive line. And then, you know, Kyler Murray, it looked like the same Kyler Murray that we've seen for years now. I know that he was sick, so you got to take some of that performance with a grain of salt.
Cry me a river.
I'm right there with you. I don't know if he's the guy that's ever going to lead a team to, much less the promised land, but to the postseason, really. Because, you know, 2019 to now, only one playoff appearance, Steve, and only one playoff game in his career.
I definitely saw some building blocks for this Saints squad, and you feel like if those 13 penalties weren't a factor, maybe if they could cut that in half, you might have been able to pull the win out in this one. And I know they had a chance, obviously, at the end. Unfortunately, Juwan Johnson not able to haul in that pass. Pretty pass, perfectly placed by Spencer Rattler. I'll give him that, too.
Oh, Juwan. I've seen a lot of talk about, you know, Juwan and how he had a great game. I'm like, can you really call it a great game if when it mattered most and Spencer Rattler put that ball, that might have been the best throw that Spencer Rattler had the entire game. He put it perfectly into Juwan Johnson's hands in a tight window. And Juwan, great defensive play. Got to give credit to the Cardinals secondary.
Exactly
there.
Right.
And I'm not going to put it all on Juwan, but you got to come up with that. That's just kind of the end result there, Steve.
Yeah, the unfortunate ending for Juwan, and we're going to take a break. We'll hear from what he had to say in the post game. But you saw at least that Spencer Rattler, too, has a ton of confidence in going to the big target. Just unfortunate in that scenario when you needed him to come up with the big grab. The Cardinals defense came up with the big play. Buda Baker, no surprise right there, being able to put the helmet on the football, dislodging it from Juwan Johnson, who went up and made the grab there in the end zone. A lot of folks pointed out to me, Charlie, too, if you go back and look at the replay, that the top there, Rashid Shaheed looked to be wide open, that Rattler could have hit as well.
Yeah, Steve, one of our coworkers had come up to me and told me about that. He's just like, running across the middle of the field, like if Rattler would have seen him, he could have potentially got, you know, the game-tying score. Or maybe even game-winning score, like we had said. Who knows what would have Kellen Moore...
Go for two.
That's a good question, Steve. I'll throw this out to you. We'll hit the break. And it's all hypothetical because we know what happened at the end of that game.
Yeah.
If Juwan Johnson makes that catch and they score a touchdown, you're Kellen Moore. Are you going for two or are you going to take the field goal to tie, the extra point to tie?
Ooh, man. See, the defense was playing pretty decent, so I'm tempted to say take the field goal, play for overtime, and try to win then.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I think I lean the opposite direction. It's kind of
almost the momentum.
Right. It's almost like a statement, right? In your first game, you want to put it all on one play type of thing. Oof. I think that would have been pretty exciting, but ultimately, maybe the smarter decision would have been, like you said, to play for OT. You got some good momentum going after that 2-minute drill.
I tend to lead conservatively play calling, but that's me.
No, I understand.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll hear from Juwan Johnson post game, his comments after having that big drop in the end zone, or I'll say getting the pass knocked out of his hands. It's not really a drop. So stay tuned right here on WWA Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Want to remind everyone we're inviting you to join Odyssey and WWL for another I'm Listening special that focuses on all matters of mental health on World Suicide Prevention Day, which is tomorrow. The show features some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. It's hosted by Carson Daly with Katie Neal, Dr. Alfie Breland Noble, and the Chief Medical Officer at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Dr. Christine Moutier. There will also be appearances by stars like Cynthia Erivo, Kane Brown, Neo, and lots more. The mission is spread awareness about mental health, and the message is it's okay to not be okay. Join us for Odyssey's mental health special, I'm Listening. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. here on WWL and the free Odyssey app, because talk saves lives. We're back here on Sports Talk getting ready to get into our WWL Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. Tough go for Juwan Johnson after the final play for the Saints there with that end zone. Had a chance to haul in a potentially game tying or go ahead score right there for the Saints. On the day though, Juwan, 8 catches, 76 yards, leading the black and gold, but was unable to secure that TD at the end of the game. Obviously felt really broken up about it. Let's hear from Juwan in the locker room. Our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, got this audio.
Juwan, how close was it? How close were you to getting that one again?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really couldn't tell you. I knew I had the ball in my hands, and when I hit the ground, it wasn't there anymore. So, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not gonna trip on it. I mean, it's a play, it's a game. At the end of the day, we got next week. You know, it's just like, I think keep reminiscing on the verse is just like count it all joy that you go through various trials. You know, because you're testing your faith, create steadfastness. So, it's just steadfastness. It's just a little bump in the road. I'm not gonna make one moment, you know, determine who I am. You know, the biggest thing I wanted is what I wanted for the city of New Orleans. I mean, I do love this city a lot, so I really want to make plays for this team, make plays for them, and make that happen that way. But, you know, it didn't happen, so let's just move on to the next one, and we got 49ers next. I know it sounds like, you know, a PR answer, but it really is. It's just I have to move on to the next one, because if I think on it, you know, you guys are really going to wonder what's wrong with him. So it's just going on to the next one. I mean, the one thing you're going to get is somebody that's just, if something happens, you just got to keep going. So
did you sense something different in Spencer in those last two drives? Because you guys were clicking in the last two drives.
Yeah. I was just telling him to be him. I mean, he's that guy. He's our QB1. I think the biggest thing is just let him be him. I think, you know, you don't have to be a shadow of anybody. We're not asking you to do too much. We're just asking you to be the starting quarterback. And I think he's kind of dove into that later on. And I think, you know, whatever the case may have been. But he's been playing well the whole game. And so he just really just ended up, you know, what he was doing. So, you know, he was getting guys the ball, nodding it up, doing what Spencer does. And, you know, we have full trust in him. I told him after the game, I said, I have full trust in you. I'm behind you. Just keep doing what you're doing.
To that point, seeing that 2-minute drive that you all had preseason against the Jaguars, how confident were you to see the success and possibly this one?
Yeah, we know what we can do. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody says about us. I mean, I don't care what people say about us. The thing is like, we know what we got in this room. We know what we got on the offense. We know what we got on the line. We know what we got on the team. So the biggest thing is just focusing on what we got focused on. When you start hearing outside noises, you start looking left and right. And the biggest thing for us is we just keep looking forward. Because the thing is, like, regardless of not, like, it is pretty hard to go undefeated in the NFL. Like, we're going to lose a game. But the thing is like, let's not trip about it. Like, let's just keep our head focused and keep going forward. Because the thing is like, you keep harping on game one, you're going to be in the game five, like, dang, we should have won week. No. Keep focused on the next game and keep going up for that.
How frustrating with the penalties, especially pre-snap?
it was frustrating. I guess you can say we're just working out, you know, the week one kinks. But the thing is like we're a better and we're a smarter team than that. You know, we shouldn't be getting like false up penalties. I mean, physical penalties we get it, but like mental penalties, like those are super penalties. So we'll clean it up. We'll be on our guys this week. I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of the guys like. A lot of guys are kind of young, so we just got to get on them just by, like, look, this is what it is, and if we want to get to where we got to get, we got to be a lot smarter. So, and that starts with me, too, just being, you know, more vocal, getting on the guys in practice. And, you know, we don't got to put them down or anything. It's just like we just got to be more mindful, more intentional. So, you know, just going to next week, you'll see what you've seen in the last period more in the first quarter next week. So we just got to keep that going.
You guys finally got to the live bullets. How do you feel like you guys handled it? You know, you're down to, you know, one possession, one play where yeah. – have an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, the game is going to go up and down. You're going to have ebbs and flows, you know. The thing is just, like, at the end of the day, I think, like, me making the play at the end kind of erases what happened in the beginning. But at the end of the day, I didn't make the play. And the thing is just, like, no matter what happened, any play throughout the course of the game could have been, like, oh, that could have been the play. But we always worry about the last play. If the last play was made, wasn't made, just got to move forward. So, like I said, next week we got 16 games. I'm not going to trip on week one. We lost. We just come back with a win and keep going forward. Make the city of New Orleans happy, make y'all happy, and then we'll go from there.
Saints tight end Juwan Johnson, that was after the Saints fall 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about it, Charlie. A tough pass breakup there in the end zone at the end. You wish Juwan had made the play. I've looked it over, I don't know, at least a dozen or more times now, and it is. It's a difficult catch because you have the defender coming in right there. The looks like the helmet comes in, lodging the ball loose. But, man, oh, man, it would have been a hell of a grab if he could have made it.
It was put in the perfect spot by
sure.
Rattler. You can't ask anything more of your quarterback with that throw. And I know it's a tough catch, but you really, really do wish that Juwan could have come down with it. We'll see, Steve, what he ends up doing this season. Overall, like, strong performance, but what really kept it from being, oh, A-plus performance, this is a guy that's going to have an, you know, we're really expecting amazing things out of this season, is if you come down with incredibly difficult catch to potentially seal either a tie or a win late in the game. So
I will say for Juwan, too, people were calling him trash and it's garbage, and that's not fair.
That's a little extreme.
Right.
But, you know, I can understand some frustration.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get to the fantasy football side of things. Maybe we should pick up Juwan Johnson in fantasy ball with this Saints squad if he becomes one of the prime targets here. We'll talk to Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk. Welcome on in, folks. We're getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up in just 15 minutes, 7 p.m. here on WWL and the Odyssey app. You can join Mike Haas with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and also Saints legend Teron Armstead, this week's edition of the Saints Hour. You won't want to miss that. Sit down with Haas and Mickey Loomis coming up at 7 p.m. We're waiting on our fantasy guests. We're not able to connect right now. Wanted to talk about some of those waiver wire additions going into tomorrow when they'll be cleared. And I got to imagine, Charlie, that one of the big ones, though, is going to be wide receiver Quentin Johnson for the Chargers after his performance.
So one of my buddies has QJ's stock in a dynasty league where okay. He used a first-round draft pick on Quentin back on, you know, a rookie draft a couple years ago. Because I think Quentin was a 2023 draft pick, right, for the Chargers, the mm-hmm. first-round selection. He really popped off. I mean, I don't know if that's sustainable for him in the future. I think maybe, you know, Justin Herbert was cooking in that game. We talked with Mark Schlereth about how good the Chargers offense looked, even without Rashawn Slater.
Right.
Where they just moved Joe Alt over to left tackle, and he's like an all-pro with left tackle right off the bat. He's unbelievable. And then Justin Herbert was comfortable. He was in command. He was slicing and dicing that Chiefs defense. And really, when it came down to it, and you're kind of holding your breath if you're a Chargers fan, because the Chargers are known to lose these tight games, and the Chiefs are known to win all these tight games, and it's a one-possession game late, third and long, and Herbert runs for a first down. He uses his legs to pick it up right at the very end.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson's an interesting one, man, because I think I would, like, some people are probably going to hop on it. If I'm, you know, using my waivers, which sometimes I refuse to do because I like the players that I drafted and I don't want to drop players too early.
Sometimes it becomes a necessity for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you have injuries, right? Like, that's the big thing. But Quentin Johnson, you know, I just kind of have to see it more. Like, if you can do it next week and have a really nice performance in their week 2 matchup on Monday Night Football against the Raiders, okay, you might be cooking with some gas here, QJ, but...
You know somebody's going to be grabbing him this week, though, after that week 1 performance, though.
For sure. And I still think Ladd McConkey is the guy right. in that passing attack. But if Quentin can kind of step up and be that 1B, listen, man, the Chargers might be one of those sleeper teams in the AFC. We'll just kind of have to see how it all plays out.
Talking about some of the highest-rated Saints players against in that game against Arizona. Now, according to Pro Football Focus, looking at the offensive side of the ball, Alvin Kamara, no shock there. Nope. Chris Olave.
Okay.
Kelvin Banks Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Spencer Rattler. And Eric McCoy.
So that was something I just got done speaking with one of our listeners about that. Kelvin was great in his NFL regular season debut. I mean, he was just plugged into left tackle, Steve, and right off the bat against Arizona's defensive front, he was locked down. And when you're not saying an offensive lineman's name much, they're typically playing pretty well.
Right.
Kelvin Banks looked great. He looked the part of an NFL left tackle.
Unfortunately, on the other side of that,
yeah,
downgrades.
Had a bad day.
Man, I was worried about the left side of the O-line. It was the right side that was a problem in week 1.
Well, Ruiz has been a problem throughout the preseason, and that kind of stuck
out. And then I'm worried about Fuego dealing with an injury because he wasn't looking right.
Yeah, it was a knee issue for him, apparently. I hope that Fuego's okay. I still feel good about Fuego in the future on the offensive line there, but you saw some really positive things early on from Kelvin Banks. And you've seen it throughout the preseason as well, but just seeing it once you get into regular season action and the way that he was able to just be on an island at left tackle in his first NFL start and look really, really solid, look the part of a true NFL left tackle immediately, that's awesome to see for Kelvin Banks. Now, with Wonga, like you said, not a great performance from him, but at the same time, I'm not really panicking about him just because you know the type of potential that he has, especially playing his, you know, quote-unquote natural position at right tackle.
There were a lot of penalties, pre-snap penalties, that were on the offense in that loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Eric McCoy, guilty of 2. You'll hear from him right now taking full credit and, you know, taking the blame on his shoulders more or less for that as being the leader of that offensive line. Let's hear Eric McCoy post-game from the Arizona Cardinals.
How did you think the operation outside of that? I mean, penalties are obviously big for
you. Yeah, I thought things went well for the most part. I mean, our defense gave us a chance to win it at the end, or to tie it at the end, win it if we wanted to. Yeah, we just ended up not getting it done. I thought things went well. I thought up front, assignment-wise, we were on point. Thought we protected well. Thought we blocked well in the run game. But at the end of the day, like, the bottom line was the operational errors. And that put us behind the sticks. That hurt us. I had 2 of them, so it starts with me.
What did you think of Austin coming in for
college? Yeah, I thought he came in and he did really well, especially in those 2-minute situations. Him and Steve had great communication. They're passing off twisting games. So I thought for only being here, 2 weeks, a week and a half, that he came in and he executed at a high level.
Did seem like, obviously the penalties can't happen, but the response to the penalties did seem to be effective. Like, there were situations first and 15, you pick up 3 yards. Like, what is the situation? Yeah.
No, I think it just shows the resiliency of the team. Like, next play. I mean, it's going to haunt me for a while, the 2 that I had, but, like, next play. The next play mentality, and I thought that we executed that well. And I feel like that we got out of those situations at a decent level. We just had too many of them.
Which 2 did you like? I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Call it on you as opposed
yep,
to...
Yep, yep, yep. So we had the one where, I don't know what happened, it might have hit him in the chest and everything just kind of scrambled. That was on me. And then there was another one where we were tempo and I didn't hear the cadence. Yeah. And so, and everybody else moved. Or the majority of people move besides me. So, yep.
I'm not trying to get you an out or anything, but like, how much does week 1 affect that? Like, are these things that over time you iron out, or a lot of it just say we're making mistakes?
I think it was just us making mistakes. At the end of the day, I've been in the NFL for 7 years. So like, game 1, game 81, 91, like, that can't happen by me. So, yeah, it's something that I think that will get cleaned up this week.
You know, the other thing that happens when you're a winning team, those are mistakes, and when you're an unbelievable team, that's coaching, like, undisciplined. You know, like, how is that not a reflection of the team being prepared?
No, it absolutely isn't. Like, as individuals, we have to take responsibility because we're the ones that have to go out there and execute. And I said it earlier, I take full responsibility for my mistakes on those because it was my fault. So it has nothing to do with coaching, nothing to do with head coach, OC, O-line coach, none of that. That's me as an individual not executing to the level that I need to execute.
What did you like about how Spencer handled the whole game, but in particular the fourth quarter and the
drives? Jeez. No, I thought he handled it well. I thought that he got us in the right plays, right protections. At the end of the day, we just have to finish it. I feel like our defense did a great job of even giving us a chance. I thought Spence operated the two-minute drill to the highest level that he could.
You're playing from behind the second half, kind of get away from it a little bit. You did mention the run game. It did seem like that was ineffective. Kind of got everything settled in, like what was working.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought the majority of our stuff was working. I thought our inside zone was working. Our gap schemes were working. I thought that our QB runs were working. I thought we were getting positive yards on all those plays. So I think it's something for us to build up that we can build off of.
No surprise there. Saints center Eric McCoy shouldering a lot of the blame there as one of the main leaders of that offense. Definitely of that O-line unit. And, man, those penalties were definitely concerning. You want to wonder, Charlie, if dealing with a lot of that up-tempo play helped cause much of that because, those issues weren't so glaring in the preseason.
You heard Eric say it there, though, Steve. He talked about the up-tempo and that one of the penalties was because he didn't hear the cadence during the up-tempo play that the Saints were running. So, yeah, I mean, there's take and give to everything, right? So there's a reason that there's the C on Eric McCoy's jersey, the leadership qualities that that guy has on the Saints offense and specifically that offensive line. We had too many mistakes and it's on me. He's putting it on himself and that they're going to go to work and get better because that offensive line, like Abear said a million times,
the investment you've made, right?
It's got to be the strength. By the time you get to the end of the season, that unit's got to be elite with how much draft capital you have sunk into that front five. All the first round picks, the second round pick in McCoy, who's played above that draft selection. Having him up front, you feel good about them figuring it out because you got that leader right at the center spot in Eric McCoy.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're getting ready for the Saints Hour with Mike Haas, Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Oh, yeah, and Saints legend Teron Armstead coming up 7 p.m. here on Sports Talk. We're taking a break right after this. We'll be back on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we close things out, getting ready for the Saints Hour. Mike Haas talking with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, also Saints legend Teron Armstead coming up here at 7 p.m. Folks, how'd you like to win tickets to the next Saints game when the Black and Gold are taking on the San Francisco 49ers in the Caesars Superdome Sunday, September 14th? You can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar with premium liquor and all you can eat buffet with celebrity chef Aaron May, and that's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter one time every day for your chance to win Saints 49ers tickets from the Saints radio station, WWL. Getting ready to close things out here for this hour. And man, the San Francisco 49ers, you thought the Saints were dealing with, some injury issues.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Purdy, a question mark, dealing with a toe and shoulder issue. We know George Kittle's already on the shelf on IR.
Yep.
Dealing with a calf or a hamstring issue, something along those lines.
It's a hamstring.
Okay.
It's a hamstring. They placed him on the IR, so he's going to be out for at least the next 4 weeks. He will not be playing this Sunday in New Orleans, which, given the Saints' issues guarding opposing tight ends, is great news for Black and Gold fans.
And then not an injury issue, but they've moved on for their kicker and Josh Moody and are going with Joel Pinheiro, a former Carolina Panthers kicker.
Yeah. Have they signed Pinheiro? Is that official yet?
Like Adam Schefter and a few other folks have reported that that's happening.
Yeah. Jake Moody was a disaster for them. So that's actually a net positive for the 49ers. But as you mentioned, I know that McCaffrey's been banged up as well. Like, he was kind of a questionable player entering week one, and then they gave him a big workload against the Seahawks, too.
And Ayuk's not ready yet, right?
Ayuk is going to be out as well. They're the walking wounded entering New Orleans.
We couldn't even practice against them last year in preseason, training camp.
And they still have all these issues. So we'll do more preview about, the 49ers later on in the week, but it is like Ricky Pearsall and friends.
Maybe it's something with the California water, not New Orleans water.
Who knows, man? It's Ricky Pearsall and friends in the pass catching room, and then you need McCaffrey to be right. Superman with how many injuries that they're dealing with.
For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned right here, though. Saints Hour, Mike Hawes coming up next here on WWL. Who dat, folks?
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.